I don't know why, but his voice made me hesitate. The boy, noticing my hesitation, stopped and turned to me. "There's nobody at my house," he said. "My uncle's gone, and his wife went to the fields. There's plenty of food, plenty. Come with me." I almost felt sad. The boy was also a phantom. The tone of his voice and his eagerness had betrayed him. The phantoms were out there to get me, but I wasn't afraid. I was still numb from my encounter with the ally. I wanted to get mad at the ally, or at the phantoms, but somehow I couldn't get angry like I used to, so I gave up trying. Then I wanted to get sad because I had liked that little boy, but I couldn't, so I gave up on that too. Suddenly, I realized that I had an ally and that there was nothing that the phantoms could do to me. I followed the boy down the trail. Other phantoms lurched out swiftly and tried to make me trip over the precipices. But my will was stronger than they were. They must have sensed that, because they stopped pestering me. After a while, they simply stood by my path. From time to time, some of them would leap towards me, but I stopped them with my will. And then they quit bothering me altogether. Don Genaro remained quiet for a long time. Don Juan looked at me. "What happened after that, Don Genaro?" I asked. "I kept on walking," he said factually. It seemed that he had finished his tale, and there was nothing he wanted to add. I asked him why was the fact that they offered him food a clue to their being phantoms. He didn't answer. I probed further and asked whether it was a custom among Mazatec Indians to deny that they had any food or to be heavily concerned with matters of food. He said that the tone of their voices, their eagerness to lure him out, and the manner in which the phantoms talked about food were the clues, and that he knew that because his ally was helping him. He asserted that by himself alone, he would have never noticed those peculiarities. "Were those phantoms allies, Don Genaro?" I asked.
"No, they were people."
"People? But you said they were phantoms." "I said that they were no longer real. After my encounter with the ally, nothing was real anymore." We were quiet for a long time. "What was the final outcome of that experience, Don Genaro?" I asked.
"Final outcome?
I mean, when and how did you finally reach Islan?" Both of them broke into laughter at once.
"So that's the final outcome for you," Don Juan remarked. "Let's put it this way, then. There was no final outcome to Genaro's journey. There will never be any final outcome. Genaro is still on his way to Islan."
Don Genaro glanced at me with piercing eyes, and then turned his head to look into the distance, towards the south.
"I will never reach Islan," he said.
His voice was firm but soft, almost a murmur. "Yet in my feelings, sometimes I think I'm just one step from reaching it. Yet I never will. In my journey, I don't even find the familiar landmarks I used to know. Nothing is any longer the same." Don Juan and Don Genaro looked at each other. There was something so sad about their look. "In my journey to Islan, I find only phantom travelers," he said softly. I looked at Don Juan. I hadn't understood what Don Genaro had meant.
"Everyone Genaro finds on his way to Islan is only an ephemeral being," Don Juan explained. "Take you, for instance. You are a phantom. Your feelings and your eagerness are those of people. That's why he says that he encounters only phantom travelers on his journey to Islan.
I suddenly realized that Don Genaro's journey was a metaphor.
Your journey to Islan is not real, then, I said.
It is real, Don Genaro interjected. The travelers are not real.
He pointed to Don Juan with a nod of his head and said emphatically,
This is the only one who's real. The world is real only when I am with this one.
Don Juan smiled.
Genaro was telling his story to you, Don Juan said, because yesterday you stopped the world, and he thinks that you also saw, but you're such a fool that you don't know it yourself. I keep on telling him that you're weird, and that sooner or later you will see. At any rate, in your next meeting with the ally, if there is a next time for you, you'll have to wrestle with it and tame it. If you survive the shock, which I'm sure you will, since you're strong and have been living like a warrior, you'll find yourself alive in an unknown land. Then, as is natural to all of us, the first thing you'll want to do is to start on your way back to Los Angeles. But there's no way to go back to Los Angeles. What you left there is lost forever. By then, of course, you'll be a sorcerer. But that's no help. At a time like that, what's important to all of us is the fact that everything we love or hate or wish for has been left behind. Yet the feelings in a man don't die or change, and the sorcerer starts on his way back home, knowing that he'll never reach it, knowing that no power on earth, not even his death, will deliver him to the place, the things, the people he loved. That's what Genaro told you.
Don Juan's explanation was like a catalyst. The full impact of Don Genaro's story hit me suddenly when I began to link the tale to my own life.
What about the people I love? I asked Don Juan. What would happen to them?
They would all be left behind, he said.
But is there no way I could retrieve them? Could I rescue them and take them with me?
No. Your ally will spin you, alone, into unknown worlds.
But I could go back to Los Angeles, couldn't I? I could take the bus or a plane and go there. Los Angeles would still be there, wouldn't it?
Sure, Don Juan said, laughing. And so will Manteca, and Temecula, and Tucson.
And Tecate, Don Genaro added with great seriousness.
And Piedras Negras, and Tranquitas, Don Juan said, smiling.
Don Genaro added more names, and so did Don Juan, and they became involved in enumerating a series of the most hilarious and unbelievable names of cities and towns.
Spinning with your ally will change your idea of the world, Don Juan said. That idea is everything, and when that changes, the world itself changes.
He reminded me that I had read a poem to him once and wanted me to recite it. He cued me with a few words of it, and I recalled having read to him some poems of Juan Ramón Jiménez. The particular one he had in mind was entitled El Viaje Definitivo, The Definitive Journey. I recited it. And I will leave, but the birds will stay singing, and my garden will stay with its green tree, with its water well. Many afternoons the skies will be blue and placid, and the bells in the belfry will chime, as they are chiming this very afternoon. The people who have loved me will pass away, and the town will burst anew every year, but my spirit will always wander nostalgic in the same recondite corner of my flowery garden.
That is the feeling Genaro is talking about, Don Juan said. In order to be a sorcerer, a man must be passionate. A passionate man
has earthly belongings and things dear to him, if nothing else, just the path where he walks. What Genaro told you in his story is precisely that Genaro left his passion in East Lun. His home, his people, all the things he cared for. And now he wanders around in his feelings. And sometimes, as he says, he almost reaches East Lun. All of us have that in common. For Genaro, it's East Lun. For you, it'll be Los Angeles. For me, I didn't want Don Juan to tell me about himself. He paused, as if he had read my mind. Genaro sighed and paraphrased the first lines of the poem. I left, and the birds stayed, singing. For an instant, I sensed a wave of agony and an indescribable loneliness engulfing the three of us. I looked at Don Genaro and I knew that being a passionate man, he must have had so many ties of the heart, so many things he cared for and left behind. I had the clear sensation that at that moment, the power of his recollection was about to landslide and that Don Genaro was on the verge of weeping. I hurriedly moved my eyes away. Don Genaro's passion, his supreme loneliness, made me cry. I looked at Don Juan. He was gazing at me. Only as a warrior can one survive the path of knowledge, he said. Because the art of a warrior is to balance the terror of being a man with the wonder of being a man. I gazed at the two of them, each in turn. Their eyes were clear and peaceful. They'd summoned a wave of overwhelming nostalgia, and when they seemed to be on the verge of exploding into passionate tears, they held back the tidal wave. For an instant, I think I saw. I saw the loneliness of man as a gigantic wave which had been frozen in front of me, held back by the invisible wall of a metaphor. My sadness was so overwhelming that I felt euphoric. I embraced them. Don Genaro smiled and stood up. Don Juan also stood up and gently put his hand on my shoulder. We are going to leave you here, he said. Do what you think is proper. The ally will be waiting for you at the edge of that plain. He pointed to a dark valley in the distance. If you don't feel that this is your time yet, don't keep your appointment, he went on. Nothing is gained by forcing the issue. If you want to survive, you must be crystal clear and deadly sure of yourself. Don Juan walked away without looking at me, but Don Genaro turned a couple of times and urged me, with a wink and a movement of his head, to go forward. I looked at them until they disappeared in the distance, and then I walked to my car and drove away. I knew that it was not my time yet.
The end. You've been listening to Journey to East Lun, The Lessons of Don Juan, by Carlos Castaneda, narrated by Luis Moreno. This book is copyrighted 1972 by Carlos Castaneda. This recording is copyrighted 2010 by Recorded Books. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.